You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Want to spend some time talking about the El Nino that we've experienced this summer. It started off as a non-traditional El Nino event, and it has seemed to transition into a more traditional El Nino. What are the implications of that going forward?
Well, you know, I think that's something that we're still in the process of learning. We don't have too many of these events that transition from the Modoki to the traditional El Nino. I think there's been seven of them since 1950. And in most cases, it actually is interesting to note that the intensity of the El Nino that follows, at least as far as its negative impact on world weather, doesn't seem to be quite as intense as it is in a traditional El Nino. But what it is, basically, is that it's an El Nino of sorts, but it occurs in the central parts of the equatorial Pacific Ocean, out around the dateline, international dateline, and that's where the warmest ocean temperatures end up being during an event like that. Whereas a more traditional El Nino is warmer than normal water from the international dateline over to the South America coast. So it's a little bit different, and it's kind of a complex theory, but the bottom line is wherever the ocean temperatures are substantially warmer than normal, you create a little low-pressure system above it, because the air is rising up off the ocean and also carrying a lot of water vapor. So with that rising air, you get a low-pressure system, and you end up with higher pressure on either side of that low-pressure system. And as you develop these El Nino events, you basically change world weather because you are creating a low-pressure area in a place where it doesn't usually exist. So that's the simplistic look at it. But the bottom line is Modoki was responsible for California's drought during the winter, at least for making it worse, let's put it that way. Also responsible for extremely dry conditions in the Philippines in recent months. But because we are transitioning into a more typical, traditional El Nino, we're going to see the world weather kind of turn around a little bit, and it'll start raining a little bit in California next fall. We'll likely see a lot of precipitation occurring in South America here as we get close to their spring season. And then a lot of the traditional dry areas like Indonesia and Malaysia, the oil palm producing areas, will turn quite a bit drier over the next few months, along with maybe some portions in India and the mainland areas of Southeast Asia.
Well, it has been a wet May in the Corn Belt and a wet June in the Corn Belt. And if it is transitioning into a more traditional El Nino, should we expect to see even greater than usual rainfall at times during the summer months?
Well, there will be some contribution, most definitely. The El Nino summers do tend to have a little more rainfall in them across the part of the Midwest, and also the temperatures tend to be less hot. So we tend to have a little bit of a milder temperature bias during an El Nino summer. Putting those two together should translate into basically a really fine summer growing season once we get beyond all this flood water we've got out there.
And El Ninos, they don't support big tropical cyclones?
No. Usually significant El Nino events tend to put a lot of shear into the atmosphere over the Atlantic tropical regions, and that results in less than usual number of tropical cyclones, and usually a little bit weaker as well. It's harder for them to develop. But with that said, I will tell you the ocean temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico are warmer than normal right now, and that's one of the reasons why we had Bill and Anna develop so early in the season. And I think we could still have a couple of other tropical systems in the Gulf, but the Atlantic will probably be a bit quieter than usual this summer.
Will the El Nino be enough to relieve California of drought conditions?
I do think there's a lot of hope there right now because we are going to get away from that Modoki event. Traditional El Ninos are usually very supportive of rain in California during the heart of winter. So we probably won't do much to change the drought out there over the next few months. But come late December, especially January and February of 2016, we'll probably see the rains kick in pretty significantly, and we'll probably at least get a good kick at the drought and make it a better start for 2016's water year.
Thank you much, Drew.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.